John, the Gospel of John, chapter 5. If you are here and you are on Facebook, please go to Facebook and check in. Let the world know that you are at Shevis Oaks worshiping our Lord and Savior this morning. Now, I want to give y'all permission, since we have a smaller crowd this morning, to be very vocal, because when you're vocal, it helps me to preach harder. Amen? And I like preaching harder. I don't like preaching soft. Thank you. Got a hallelujah and an amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, as we have started this new year, not New Year's, how many of y'all people say Happy New Year's? It's not Happy New Year's. It's Happy New Year. We can only live 1 year at a time. Right, Alec? You learned that this past semester at Auburn, right? Okay, so it's New Year. Now, we started this new year. Many of you have set a goal for yourself. How many of y'all set a goal for yourself? New Year's Eve, right before the clock struck, you said, okay, this is it. This is it. This is my goal. Thank you, brother. This is my goal. Some of y'all even said for New Year's, but it's New Year, right? Now, you've decided that this year you are going to face a task that you have been promising yourself maybe for years that you're going to complete. You may have told yourself that this is the year that you finally are going to lose those extra pounds. Right, Gary? You're going to lose those? Not Mr. White. But Gary, you're going to lose that extra weight, aren't you? Listen, or you might be saying, I want to lose that weight so I can fit into those pants that I've saved since from high school. Now, I know y'all women, y'all save pants, y'all save clothes. Some of y'all, I saved a shirt, one shirt from high school, okay? But y'all got clothes that y'all had since y'all were in kindergarten. You may have told yourself that you're going to save more money this year. You're going to eat healthier. Maybe start going back to the gym. Each of you has considered conquering that task that you set before yourself on New Year's Eve, have made yourself believe that there are great benefits for accomplishing that task you have committed to this year. You have made an offer to yourself that if you will just stick to this certain task, your life will be so much better. It's going to be so much better if I can just keep myself on course for this task. Now, as you consider your goals for this year, give yourself another type of offer that's been given to each and every one of us. Now, this offer is good. It's bona fide, and it was given to us by Jesus. Now, what does Jesus really have to offer you? What is it that is we're in this new year, what is it that Jesus has to offer you? Listen, if you want a better life this coming year, let's consider that offer that Jesus has given to us all, an offer that has been on the table for over 2,000 years. Same offer. In 1993, this offer was on the table. 1970, when I was born, this offer was on the table. 2010, 12, 14, 16. Hey, listen, at the end of this coming year, at the end of 2017, this offer will still be on the table. Well, Brother Kyle, what is it? I'm intrigued. Well, turn with me into John chapter 5. It's very easy, very simple. Verse 24. John 5:24. Jesus had just finished disputing, he was right in the middle of disputing with the Pharisees, because they felt that he had equaled himself with God, and he can, because he is God, and they were giving him some lip service. And right in the middle of the discourse, Jesus gives them some information, and it's there for us as well. So let's read verse 24. Jesus says this, not me, but Jesus says this, and if Jesus says it, we can believe it, amen? He says this, I assure you. He is emphatic. He wants us to understand and to believe. Well, what is it? Listen, anyone, do y'all know that you're an anyone? Everybody, Angie, you're an anyone. Now, I've been called a lot of things in life, some of it good, some of it bad, some of it kind of in the middle. But listen, when somebody calls me in anyone, I like that. We are all in anyone. Jesus says, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life. Now, Brother Cal, that's kind of simple. God has never made anything hard. We make things hard. Now, this morning, we're going to break this down, and I want you to better understand what this scripture is saying this morning. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. And God, we thank you. We thank you for those who've come, brave the cold, tundrous weather this morning to be in your house. We pray that you would be with those who aren't here, those who are traveling, those who are sick. God, I pray that you would touch them all. Bring them back to your house. God, please be with those who can't be here, who want to be here, Lord. But Lord, while we're here, help us, Lord, to glorify your name. Help us, Lord, to open our eyes and our ears and our hearts. Help us to hear from you, hear from a word from you, God, that we might be greater servants when we walk through these doors. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen, amen. Now, church, I asked you a few seconds ago, but I won't ask you again. I might ask you several times throughout this message, what does Jesus want from you? And let there be no doubts, Jesus, listen, we're not talking about an ordinary individual. We're talking about Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. If he has a request from you, we need to honor that request. Amen? We need to do everything we can to do what he asked us to do. And let there be no doubt, Jesus wants something from you. He wants something from you. He wants many things from you, but it all starts with this message this morning. What is it that Jesus wants from you? Church, let there be no doubt. That as we look at this scripture as a whole, the one thing we should not have a hard time taking away is that Jesus desires each and every person who has ever lived to believe his words are true. That's what this whole debate in the middle of this chapter is about. He is the Son of God. His words are true. Do you know that people have been debating that since Jesus came, whether his words are true? Since the day he arrived, people have been debating whether his words are true. Jesus, in this scripture, is pleading with the world to take steps to understand that what he is offering will change their lives for the better. The sad reality of what we hear this morning is that most people follow through with what Jesus has asked them about as well as we have accomplished last year's resolutions. The truth, most likely, is that our resolutions from this year closely resemble last year's, if they are not the exact same as last year's. So why is there no follow-up? Why is there no resolve? Well, our intent with Jesus is about like our commitment to our resolutions to ourselves. Well, I'm going to lose 15 pounds this year. I'm going to eat healthier. I'm going to stop beating the kids as much as I've been beating them. I'm going to quit, you know, doing this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And listen, it's going to be wonderful. And we say that at 12 o'clock on New Year's Eve. And by the time we wake up, kids need to be beat. Right? And you already lost the resolution. And of course, we live in the South, so on New Year's Day, even though we made a resolution, hey, listen, I'm going to eat healthier. Yeah, but them collard greens with bacon grease, you know, I got to eat that. And I got to have two helpings of black-eyed peas and rice and that sweet potato casserole, and you know, I've got to eat that. And I'm going to eat healthier throughout this year, but I got that ham sitting in the oven today. And, you know, I'm not going to waste that cornbread. Hey, listen, so we break all those resolutions hours after we make them, do we not? And listen, sad but true, that's pretty much what happens when we make resolutions to God, when we make commitments to God. Lord Jesus, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to give you my whole heart. And then, bless you. And then moments later, we fall into temptation and we step away from God. Listen, church, please listen to me when I tell you that Jesus is offering each of us is much better than what we offer ourselves each year through these silly resolutions. The promise that we make to ourselves is short-lived, but the promise Jesus is making us, it is and forever will be true. So what Jesus wants from us in 2017, what is it that He wants from us in 2017? To be honest, what Jesus wants from you is what He has always wanted from you. His request has not nor ever will change with time. So what is it that Jesus wants from you? And again, let me tell you, He wants it from all of us, every single one of us. Number one, and this scripture just told us in chapter 5, verse 24, He says this, first of all, if anyone hears my word, remember, who's anyone? That's us. If anyone hears my word, what should we take away from that short little sentence? Well, here we go. To hear His word, you must seek the word out. Listen, do y'all hear that cardinal in the bushes? Do y'all hear it? Do you hear it? Do y'all hear that baby crying in the nursery? Listen, I assure you, there's a baby crying in the nursery. Do y'all hear that baby crying? Now, listen. Do y'all hear that blue jay chirping down in Florida? No. Oh, Brother Kyle, that's crazy. How in the world could we hear that? You seek it out. You seek it out. If you want to hear a cardinal singing in the bush, you can hear it. If you're crazy enough to want to hear a baby crying in the nursery, listen, you can go after church and stand at the door. You can hear that baby crying in the nursery. If you want to hear a blue jay in the state of Florida, I promise you, that's where they fly. They fly down to Miami. Go down to Miami after the service is over. Not now. And you can find blue jays, I'm sure. What do you have to do? You have to seek them out. You have to seek them out, just like the Word of God. You have to look for His Word and find His Word. You must know where it is. And listen, that's the sad part about Christians. Some of y'all don't even know where your Bible is. When was the last time you got into the Word of God? Well, I'm studying the book of Genesis. That's great. So am I on Sunday nights. Well, I'm studying through the life of Christ with you on Wednesday night. Yeah, that's great. So am I. But what are you studying in your quiet time? What are you doing on a daily basis? What are you doing to rattle your cage, to wake your spiritual mind up? Well, what are you doing? In 2017, Jesus wants you to do what He has always wanted you to do, to find His Word and to read it. If you will read His Word, you will know the truth. And as Scripture says, the truth will set you free. Church, I have never known anyone who is immersing themselves in the Word of God on a daily basis, seeking out the heart of God and the will of God in their lives, that's failed God. Never. I've known a lot of people. I've known pastors, preachers who failed God. But I've never known anybody, Bob, who's ever failed God, who has immersed their whole lives in the Word of God on a daily basis. I've never known anybody to fail God. Why? Because they're in touch with the heart of God. But there's more Jesus wants. He wants you to seek Him out. But there's more that He wants. The same verse says, if anyone hears my word. What this means is that after you seek out the Word of God, once you have found the Word of God, you must hear from the Word of God. What this means is that you must listen to what the Word tells you. Well, hold on a second. I have to read it and listen to it? Well, yeah. Now please know that it is not good enough just to know what the Bible says. Jesus wants us to listen to what it says. When we listen, it will change our lives. Church, I can know the Word of God so well that I can quote verbatim from the book of Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation without even opening my Bible. And with that ability, I would have accomplished nothing but you saying, boy, look at Brother Kyle. Boy, he can really quote Scripture. That was amazing. But if I will listen to what the Word of God says, listen, and I will allow it to direct my life and our lives, we will never, ever be the same. Never be the same. Listen, not only that, when you come to a time of trouble and temptation, you won't have to speculate, well, I wonder if this is a good thing to do. I wonder if I should do this. I wonder if I should watch this. I wonder if I should look at this. I wonder if I should touch this. I wonder if I should taste this. That's what we do, isn't it? And then we justify it. Well, you know, everybody else is doing it. She did it. He's doing it. Everybody's doing it. I guess I can try it once. You justify it within yourself to make all things right, right? But if you have the Word of God, if you have sought out the Word of God, and you have listened to the voice of God, and the only way you can listen to the voice of God is hear it when you're reading it. It's penetrated your heart when temptation comes. Did I say if temptation comes? When temptation comes, you can say, hold on a second. The Word of God says this. I can't do that. The Word of God says, I can't do that. There's no way I can do that. Do you know why people do what they do? Because the Word of God has not penetrated their heart enough and to the effect that it halts them and stops them in their footsteps. It hasn't happened. Well, I'm going to go ahead and do it. Well, the Word of God must not have penetrated your heart. It really must not have taken effect, because you can do that without any resolve. It doesn't bother you. It doesn't halt you. Jesus wants one other thing. Listen. Jesus wants us to seek His Word, seek out His Word. He wants us to listen to His Word. And church, He wants us to believe His Word is true. You can seek it, and you can listen, and you can read, but you need to understand that what you are reading, this is the Word of God. This is 66 love letters from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ personally to you. Now, I promise you, I've used this illustration before, but I promise you, if there were two people who were in love, I mean, they were always in love, holding hands, and you watch this guy hand this Colin gave this love letter to Reagan, said, "Ooh, baby, and they were holding hands, and she put it in her pocket, and they were walking away, and that love letter popped out on the ground. I know what some of y'all would do. Now, some of y'all would say, hey, hold on a second. Hey, y'all don't want to leave this laying around. Somebody read that thing. That's what you do, Miss Shirley, right? But this is what others would do. You'd see that love letter fall on the ground, and you know what you'd do? That's right. You'd pick that thing up and you'd say, "Dear baby, I love you, darling. I missed you when I didn't see you this past hour. We talked for 10 minutes on the phone, but I missed you, honey, sweet darling. Love, sugar pie." Hey, listen, it's a ooey-gooey love letter, and you don't want to. That's what the Bible is. Listen, that's what the Word of God is. God loved us so much that He gave us His Word. It is a love letter from Him to us. He wants us to seek Him out. Every morning you ought to say, "Boy, I want to hear from the love of my life. God loves me so much, I'm going to see what God wants to speak to me." And you open one of His letters to you. You seek Him out. And as you seek Him out, you listen to what the love letter speaks to your heart. But you do something else. You believe that it's true. You believe that the letter is true. Jesus said in verse 24, "I assure you, anyone who hears my word and believes." Now, this is crazy right here. Jesus just wants me to mindlessly believe that those words that were written 2,000 years ago are believable. Well, it sounds like to me, someone who would say this needs a testimony. I'll testify. Hey, listen, I'll testify. Look, God wants all of you to be a living testimony to Him. Are you going to testify that this is a love letter? Are you going to testify that seeking God out, listening to God, and believing that the Word of God is true, will you not testify? Listen, I can testify. And I want to testify. The Word of God changed my life. I am not the same person. The same person is inside of me, and I've told y'all every now and then, he wants to get out. He wants to come out. But the Word of God, the King, the Messiah, suppresses that old man that's inside of me. I'm changed. I'll testify. I couldn't change myself. There's no way I could change myself. Brian, I couldn't change me. I didn't want to change me. But the Word of God changed my life. What'll happen, Brother Kyle, if I seek out the Word of God, if I'll listen to what the Word is speaking, and I'll believe that the Word is true? Jesus says that you will have eternal life. I didn't say that. I didn't make you that promise. To be honest with you, I can't make you that promise. But God said if you will seek Him out, if you'll listen, if you'll believe that His Word is true, that you will have eternal life. That means that you miss hell. That's a pretty good deal. Now you think about the resolutions that you've made this past year. I want to lose 15 pounds. Well, that's great. That's wonderful. How's that going to affect your eternity? Now, if you need to lose weight, go ahead and lose weight. But don't put it above or below anything. Hey, listen, this offer that Jesus is making, this is eternal. You miss hell and you gain heaven. You gain eternity if you will listen to what God is saying this morning. Well, Brother Kyle, I'm already a born-again believer. You know, I'll already experience eternal life. I've done all the things that you've proposed this morning. Why should I continue to do what you're asking the lost to do? Well, that's a pretty good question. I'm glad you asked. Listen to me, and I will make you a promise, good Christian. If you will continue to seek out the Word of God, if you will continue to listen to the Word of God as it speaks to you, if you will continue to believe that the Word of God is truly does have the power to change your life, if you will continue, I promise God will do something amazing in your life. You ready for what He'll do? You ready? He will use you to reach others who do not know Him. Well, I don't want to bother people. I don't want to be a bother to people. I don't want to try and push Jesus down anybody's throat. People think those people are nuisances when they try to be a Jesus witness. Do you know how sad that sounds? As a pastor, do you know how pathetic that sounds? You were created. We're studying creation and on Sunday nights. Everybody's invited tonight. You were created to tell other people about Jesus. That's why you were created. That's why you were born. That's why you have a birthday. That's why you celebrate Christmas. That's why you celebrate any anniversaries. That's why you come to church. That's the one reason you breathe, and that's the reason you live. That's the only reason you're alive, is to tell other people about Jesus. And the sad truth is, that's the last thing that most of you want to do and the least thing that you ever do. We're created to testify of the greatest event that ever took place in our lives, and that's Jesus coming into it. Why do you hide it? Why do you suppress it? Why don't you tell the world what Jesus has done? Now, please tell me, who would be more qualified to win this lost world for Jesus than a person who is constantly seeking the Word of God in their life, who is constantly listening to the Word of God as the Word speaks to them? That they are praying for God to speak to them through His Word. Who could be more effective than one who believes that the Word can still transform lives because they themselves are a transformed life. Who could be more effective? My question to each of you this morning, will you seek out His Word? I mean, you've come up with all kind of other crazy resolutions. This year, will you seek out His Word? Will you listen? Will you believe? And do you care enough about the lost to continue to do what Jesus has asked all of us to do? Last question. Will 2017 be the greatest spiritual year of your life? Will 2017 be the greatest spiritual year of your life? It can be. It really can be. If you'll follow what Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 24. Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, I've done what You've asked me to do. I've preached this message to Your people. Lord, I pray that Your Spirit would convict our hearts, open our eyes, and help us to see ourselves as You see us, Lord. God, I pray that You would help us this morning to come down to this altar and commit to You, to seek out Your Word, to listen to Your Word, to believe Your Word, and, Lord, to be used by You this year like we never have before. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come?